Welcome to the inquiry session. Can you hear me well at the back? Just a reminder that your presence and attention is required and that you are actually participating in the event of the inquiry. The power of listening is quite potent, and that helps allow the exploration to go deeper. The practice is also one of listening outwardly to what is said, and then also what is not said through the body language and expressions, and also listening inwardly to the responses of your own heart and mind. Catching the voice that evaluates or commentates. Noticing when something is touching. If the inquiry is quite slow, it will require some sustained attention. That's also part of the practice. So some of you might say, oh, it's too long, hurry up. Or a critical voice can come in. I won't say more about that. I don't want to scare the person who's coming up. But mostly the critical voice lands on me, the teacher. So really listening inwardly to that inner dialogue that we have, but also to our whole heart and emotional world, the way we meet life. And of course, at any time, you may say thank you and leave. And I may say thank you or ring the bell, and that brings the inquiry to an end. If you don't wish to be recorded, please say so. Yes? Yes. Yes. So it's so an inquiry into the judgmental mind might be a rather good thing to do. Okay. So we see that, and it's important that we release any clinging to it. We see it as a mechanism of mind, sometimes a habit of mind. And when we see the empty nature of the thoughts with non-clinging mind, they don't have the power anymore to inform consciousness. We loosen the grip of the mind. We let go of the thought formations. So let's just sit quietly for a minute or so, and then we'll begin. Yes, anybody? Just come. If you could say your name.
Amos.
Welcome. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Okay.
I'm having a lot of thoughts in the past 3 days about situation.
Yes.
In which I feel that other people in my life are having this habit of clinging to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how to deal with it. I'm afraid that each time that I'm trying to show that, I either hurt or make more clinging.
Mm.
And then I don't want to uncling myself from other people that I love.
Yes.
And I don't find in any of the practice how to deal with other people's behavior and how to either to push them back from my life and to let them go, or to trying to be glad of them as they are.
Mm.
And I sometimes don't find myself between these two.
So are you able to communicate the fact that when somebody else is rather needy,
mm-hmm.
when someone is relying on you, if I understand yeah. correctly, are you able to communicate what happens to you? So when someone else makes a demand, is this the situation?
Sort of.
Say a little more then. Concrete examples are always best to work with. So there are people in your life.
Yeah, I'm trying to make a more concrete example.
Yes.
I feel that, like we said, changing is inevitable.
Yes.
Things are changing, and when I'm leading a change, some other people might resist.
Okay.
Because they don't want the change, they don't think that things must change.
Mm-hmm.
The thing must, because inside I changed. So
yes.
Everything is changing.
So other people perceive you as you were, not mm-hmm. as you are.
Yeah.
Okay, so do I understand that you're making some shifts in your life?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What are the shifts? Tell me.
I don't really want to go into specifics, okay. but priorities, changing priorities and changing lifestyle and
yes.
the amount of time that I'm spending with family versus mm-hmm. the amount of time I'm spending with friends or my partner
yes.
or work or studies mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And each time that I make a change, I yes. feel like there's a lot of resistance from my surroundings.
Mm.
Mm. Although my change feels usually quite natural.
Yes. But the perception of it from others is different. They don't want you to change.
Yeah.
Or they don't agree with the change. Mm-hmm. Is this it? So we're talking about family of origin here?
Family and my partner.
Yes. Okay, so sometimes when we make a shift or change, we're clear in ourselves what we're doing and why. That shift or change needs to be communicated to the other. It's not always met with delight. It's sometimes met with resistance. So when other people resist, what do you do? Or they want you to be different from how you are.
It's a good question. I think that I either try to resist back.
Yes.
And like
yes.
have my stand. Or
yes.
Or I feel like surrendering and giving up.
Yes.
And which both options I feel quite bad at the end.
Yeah, so one, the second, you kind of betray yourself.
Yeah.
And the first,
I betray others.
Yeah, you push back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So the question becomes, how can you live true to your ethics and principles
mm-hmm.
and your deep intentions, yet also not hurt those you love, okay? So is there some other way you could respond other than pushing back? Okay. When you push back, does it come with the message that you are right and the other person is wrong?
Probably sometimes, but right, I'm not sure that right and wrong is
okay.
Is the way to see it, because it's like right for whom?
Yes, like exactly my point.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
I feel that if I feel that something is right for me but wrong for somebody else.
Yes.
Then how can I make decision, be active in the world without hurting other people, forcing them to
accept your decisions.
Yeah.
When we're in relationship with somebody, the relationship needs to bear the shifts and changes. Otherwise, the relationship comes to an end. And it's helpful to see relationship with others, not simply as self relating to somebody else, me and the other, but to also see the contributing factors. So in our intimate relationship, for example, you bring certain qualities to it based on your past, your upbringing, your parenting, where you grew up, the culture, religion, and so on. You bring that to it. Your partner also brings all of those other issues to it. The same, a myriad of causes and conditions contribute to a relationship. We tend to look with a narrow view and think the relationship is just about me and the other person. And then what we tend to do is apportion blame inwardly or outwardly.
Yeah.
Okay. The more expansive view and the teaching of the Buddha is that we see relationship not simply as personal, me and the other, but we see the causes and conditions that contribute. And when we see it like this, it can take the pain out of it. Because you're saying, I made a decision, and if I make this particular decision, it impacts on the other person and hurts them, perhaps.
Yeah.
So, if you have a more expansive view, what do you think is contributing to you wanting to make the shifts and changes in your life?
I think that if I see more, less thinking of me and more fluid me, which includes also this relationship,
yes,
that then I might think that it can't be good for me if it's also hurting the relationship, because I need to take this into consideration of what it is me.
Yes.
Also my relationship.
Yes. Yes.
Of being me. So hurting it is not, it can't be a good decision making.
Not quite. Because what underlies hurt? When are people hurt?
Fear.
When they fear, they feel loss. They fear the relationship coming to an end. They fear losing what they have. Okay? When else? When do we get hurt?
When we feel betrayed.
Yes? When else?
When we lose.
Mm-hmm.
When we feel like other people are trying to hurt us, like
yes,
insulted maybe, or
if someone is critical, we tend to get hurt.
Yeah. So spite.
Oh, okay. So you're talking about what to do when someone is really angry.
I say that also you get hurt when other people are having like a spite.
Mm-hmm. When other people say something kind of mean. Yeah. Yes.
Trying to.
Yes. Trying to destroy, trying to undermine, trying to find fault. And the Buddha does say what to do in that case, in the teachings. There's a teaching about how to deal with somebody else's anger. And he talks about having a mind like space, where we can't hang anything, where nothing can land. So this is like having a non-stick mind, to use, you know, a mind where the words of another, even if they're intended to harm or hurt, don't grip and stick. So there's one thing. He also used another image, and it's be like the River Ganges, unable to be set on fire. So we be like water that cannot be lit. So the other person's anger then has no power to arouse us within. Mm-hmm. He also said, let the words of another, if they're hurtful, just flow off. The image that was used is a bit outdated now. It's a cat skin bag. So it's to be... let ourselves be as smooth as suede or a catskin bag or smooth cloth so that the words just slide off, don't grip anywhere. So this is how we deal with the anger of another. So say more. Let's come back to having a bigger perspective than just you.
Yeah, I think my question
mm-hmm.
is that I don't find an answer
mm-hmm.
how to be active in my life, because I feel that all the answer telling me to let go of, to uncling myself.
Yes, they are.
And like...
Okay, so...
I will be left alone, and like if I'll uncling myself from anything that is problematic, and I won't fight my square, or you know,
if you push people away,
yeah,
you will definitely be alone. So there has to be another way. When we let go, does it mean we have to push everyone away? Sometimes we have this idea, if we let go of self, if we let go of what we are doing, or we let go of our ambition, for example, that will sometimes fall into some vacuous space with no motivation, with no, and end up doing nothing. It's not that. That will not happen. So, what is it that you need to let go of? There's clearly suffering here. What is it that you need to let go of in this situation to bring about harmony?
The self-view.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the self-view. Next. Because we are not the center of life. Sorry. So letting go of the self-view. When we let go of self, we also let go of the other view. The question came with the assumption of self and other.
Yeah, so to let go of the relationship in a way that let it change. Like maybe if I'm forcing it to change in a specific way, I'm also clinging to it.
Yes, by trying to control it.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a more authentic way the relationship can shift or change, and it's going to require some communication on your part, very skillful communication. That doesn't come from the self view. That doesn't come from that. It's a broader perspective. We think our relationships are about us. And that it's incredibly freeing when we see that the relationship is not about me and the other person. It's actually about the whole of life with lots of causes and conditions contributing, and it takes the personal aspect out of it. Then, of course, we still meet our lover, we still meet the other person, but not from that self-centered perspective. So, one more time. What else do you need to let go of? You said the self-view.
And my control of the relation. Oh, okay, well, no.
Just sitting quietly together. Yes, anybody?
I'd just like to ask a question.
No, come. No?
Like Israeli army, you learn not to ask a question. Come up.
If you could start with your name.
Nava.
Welcome. And thank you for coming from there to here.
Similar, but to do with guilt.
Yes.
Guilt and relationship.
Yes.
And what I wanted to ask you about was discernment.
Okay.
Because that's a difficulty for me.
And what do you mean by discernment for people?
Discernment, avchana. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot of guilt in relationships. Well, I always have, but it's really come to a head lately.
Yes.
With all my difficulties, I feel like I'm blossoming. Life is exciting and I'm learning and it's wonderful. And most of the people that I love dearly, whether it's family or close friends, aren't moving.
Okay.
They aren't moving and I don't know what to do about that. I find that if I feel happy, I'm quiet about it. If I, I don't know what to do with them. And these are people I love.
Okay. Please give yourself the freedom to blossom and change and have an exciting life. Don't stop loving those close to you. Continue to love. If you could do that, where is the difficulty?
In the relationship.
Your close intimate partner you're talking about?
Him and a few very, very close friends.
Okay. So, are the other people critical of you? Or where does the guilt come from?
They don't get me.
Okay.
They don't get me anymore. It used to be that they all got me.
So what? Show them something new. Open their minds to a different way of being.
It doesn't work like that. People get angry. People get, and I also end up feeling alone.
Ah, okay. So you feel isolated.
Sometimes I feel really alone because the people I've shared with, I can't share with them anymore.
There's a whole lot of new people here. The Sangha, the community of meditators, is extraordinarily supportive. My very best friends in this life are part of the Dharma community. So the shifts and changes that you're referring to come with friends. Come with relationships that can be extraordinary. It doesn't mean we have to cut off and leave behind everything else, but it does mean that sometimes if somebody doesn't want us to change and can't cope, then we have to have a really clear conversation with them and say, this is very important to me. This is how I'm living my life now. This is what I truly want. So how is it that you want to live now? What are the shifts and changes?
I'm no longer so involved in all my troubles.
Oh.
I deal with them differently. They're all there, but I deal with them differently.
Yes. There's a lightness. I can see it.
It's so very different.
Yes.
And I see so much beauty. I feel joy. I haven't had a joyous life, and I feel joy.
Oh.
Just so many things. So many things. But it still seems that it's hurtful when someone's talking about their very, very difficult life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's happening to all of my friends.
Mm-hmm.
To talk about this.
To let your joy shine.
How do you do that? I mean, that seems almost cruel.
When we feel joy and love and not attached to our troubles, we feel a sense of freedom, we also feel empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the power to listen to others.
That's not the
problem. No.
It's how much can you listen to other people's problems when there's something else.
Yes.
Something else. There it
is. Okay.
That's what it feels.
Yes.
That's what it feels.
You're really over listening to other people's problems, and some people in particular.
Yeah.
Have you said that?
I can't see myself doing that. I really can't. These are serious issues people are dealing with.
Yes.
Some of them that will never go away, for example.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about illness or injury or...
One is very ill. One has been taking care of an ill partner for 25 years. And
yes.
It's just really awful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
One of them has a breakdown every week, practically. It's all terrible stuff. This is
mm-hmm. It's the dukkha, the suffering of this life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And... So how can you meet that suffering, being true to your freedom of heart? How can you meet the suffering, being true to your understanding now?
I can hold that suffering. That's not the problem.
Yes, okay.
I can do that.
The issue is what then?
I come back to feeling alone because some of them have been in my life since I was a child.
Mm.
Okay? These
are yes.
people that I really love and that I've been through with. We've been through a lot together.
Mm. So... The feeling of aloneness, mm-hmm. sometimes there's nothing wrong with feeling alone.
Mm-hmm.
Say a little more about that.
That's a difficult one for me.
Yes.
I've made it through life with my difficulty through friendship.
Yes.
And so... When I see this happening,
yes,
I really feel the difficulty of it for me.
Difficult for you to respond to the people who've been your friends, no?
No, this feeling of the people I've been closest to.
Mm-hmm.
There's a rift.
Mm.
Mm. They don't feel it.
Yes.
They don't know
they it. They don't know it.
They don't know it. I know it.
Yes.
And maybe that's part of the difficulty. They don't know.
Mm. And sometimes quite significant friendships fade or come to an end. Sometimes they come to an end through loss and death. Sometimes they come to an end because life takes us somewhere else. Can you be with your aloneness
mm-hmm.
comfortably without abandoning your friends, without abandoning those you love? Yeah. You can, well, definitely.
Yeah,
that's not a problem. Okay.
No, the problem seems to be worrying about them.
Ah, okay.
That's the guilt. There we go. That's the guilt.
You got it.
Okay, that's the guilt. I can. That's what I was trying to say. I can do this.
Okay.
I can do this, and I have ways of doing it. I don't know if they do, and that's...
Okay.
There's the difficulty.
Yes. The difficulty is you would like to relieve their suffering.
Very much so.
Hmm.
Very much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take some creative thinking and fresh approaches and different ways of meeting them in order to relieve their suffering. So I would encourage you to be the voice of freedom that you are, be true to that, and then just meet life. No need to feel guilty about another's suffering. Okay? in life there is suffering. There is suffering. Our response of the heart is to meet it with compassion, not meet it with worry. If we meet it with worry, we're contributing.
So there has to be a way of bringing this,
yes,
to a relationship without it. You know, without it being pushy, without it, yes, being imposing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think you can do it. I can hear this beautiful voice of understanding. I hear love and care and friendliness. And I hear the wisdom, your wisdom. You've learned how to be with life. And of course you want that for others because you've found release. Yes. Forget the guilt. Just get on with relieving suffering in whatever way you can, in just small ways, small things. Be creative about how you do it.
Up until now, I've done it by being present, but that doesn't seem to be enough.
It's to drop the worry.
Yeah, and to somehow bring up what's in me and not just present.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Being present is sometimes not enough. So what else is required? You have to speak the truth of things. Mm-hmm. Communicate. Mm-hmm. Let your wisdom shine through. Yes, kindly. Of course, kindly. Mm-hmm. Of course, kindly. Yeah.
When there's worry, it's not kind.
No.
No,
yeah,
then it's pushing.
Yes. Right. Mm. Okay. Thank you. Yes, anybody, come.
That was fast. I'm a little bit embarrassed. So there's a problem in my life.
Yes.
My father, it's like he always make me feel unworthy.
Uh-huh.
It's like how I went out from the closet like at age 16,
mm-hmm,
and now I'm 42 and 26 past, and he's still like, it's like he gets it and then he pushed it away.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I find it hard to like, for me, like in my life, I'm like the man of the hour, like everybody, like I'm kind of sunshine, like that's what my friends call me.
Oh, okay.
And I find very hard to look for his approval.
Yes.
And feeling worthy, and like I tried many things, and it always come to that I'm not enough. And with him, he's the only one who makes me feel this, and he's the he's the only thing I want to get rid of.
Okay.
So the last thing I did was send him, like, write him a letter saying, like, I'm choosing me.
Mm-hmm.
It's your problem. Like, deal with yourself. I'm not going to be there. And it seems he's always in his head. Like, he chooses always his side. And, like, I almost died. And still, and still he doesn't care. Like, nothing moves him. He acts exactly like his father.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find a way within me to let it go. And I couldn't. Like, I can't. Like, I'm trying really hard.
Okay, so say a little more about the situation where you almost died.
I had a cancer 5 years ago.
Ah.
And, like, I'm saying to myself, like, I could have been dead.
Yes.
Like, and still, he doesn't see the connections. He's still, in his point, there is, like, it's not in nature, and it's like, I chose it.
Okay.
And, like, I can't do anything about it.
So he's critical of your sexual preference.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay, and not accepting of you.
There were times he did, like,
yes.
my boyfriends came to me.
Yes.
Friday dinner with my family and everything.
Yes.
So it's okay, but, like, there's always a point that I'm like, I see his true face. Like,
okay.
It comes every several years.
Mm. Mm. It's difficult and painful when someone we love so much, a parent, holds back or doesn't show love in a way that we understand as love. So, sometimes in life, we have a habitual mechanism of looking to the outer for approval.
Mm.
And in this case, you're looking to your father for approval, which isn't coming.
It comes in waves.
Yes. Comes every now and then.
Yeah.
But essentially, can you see the difficulty? Can you see how you're stuck?
His difficulty?
No, yours.
Oh. No, I'm trying.
Okay. So, what I'm suggesting is this, and see whether it rings true. We look to somebody else, or we look to the outer in order to feel really happy. Yeah, we rely on somebody else's approval in order to feel really whole and unbroken and well within.
I do it every time.
Yes.
Even yesterday when you suggested, I did it. Like I really feel it, but then it always comes back to the same thought. It's like he's thinking I'm not worthy.
Yes.
And it's like, it's always like, everything's good, and until it gets to this point, and then like, start again.
Is it true that you are unworthy?
No.
No. Not true. Not true.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And your friends call you Sunshine. That's so cute. It's really sweet. So the sun shines everywhere except on Dad. Yeah, he doesn't get it. So what if you were to stop looking for his approval?
I try, like I don't know how to do it. It's like, I think that I'm doing it, but then it's the same.
Okay. Let's come back to this whole notion of self. The identity, your identity, is wrapped around, I am the son. He is the father. So one of the roles we have in life is son or daughter. There's many others, of course. But when we're the son and we look to the father, we can get rather fixed ideas and notions. So what if you were to loosen your idea of I am his son of course you are, but what if you weren't so, what if you didn't hold so tightly to that notion for a minute? And you just see your dad as another human being. What then?
It's funny because people that doesn't know our story, they say, your father is amazing. I was like, what? It's like, there's no fucking way. It's not my father.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
I can see.
Okay. Could you begin to see it, do you think? Could you begin to see him just as a human being with all of his own difficulties and problems and inabilities?
Yes. Like, it's gonna be a long one.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought about like how his father treated him, the
yes.
way he treats me,
yes.
and everything, but I don't care. It's like, seriously, I'm sorry for that.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
But I don't care. Like,
you don't care that he had a difficult life himself?
No, no. I like everybody change
mm-hmm.
when they need to.
Mm-hmm.
So like I'm expecting from him
yeah.
to change.
Yes.
Like I changed.
Yes.
I can.
Yes.
So he can.
Yes.
It's just like, it's like.
So you've got a clear expectation that your father ought to do something that so far he's been incapable of.
Mm. Yes.
Isn't that a recipe for suffering?
Yeah.
We want the other to change. They're unable to. So far, anyway. He may change. Who knows? But not yet.
So what you're suggesting is like to let go and see him different. And if a change will come, it will come.
Yes. Yes. And not to look to the outer to know love.
To know?
Love.
Love. Okay.
The love of yourself, your own worthiness. You see the truth that you are not unworthy. So rest there. That's the truth of things. Does it matter what he thinks?
I want to say no.
Yeah.
But it's funny because like I don't understand how can I detach from a lot of people that wasn't doing good in my life. And in this position, I just can't. It's like, and it's not like the father figure, like when I grew up myself. It's
yeah. Like, yeah, but you still want him
so
to
I
love you.
I still want his approval.
You still want him to
no,
love
he
you.
He loves me. I know he loves me.
Ah, okay.
I know him. I love him also, but he doesn't love this part.
Okay.
I
so he's judgmental and he's mm-hmm. dismissive of your sexual preference. You cannot change that. That's up to him.
Mm-hmm. I tried.
But you can be yourself. Yeah, I can see. So you can be yourself. You can be free in that. And not look to him for your wholeness.
Okay.
You get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the shift is in you, actually. And then this story of being unworthy needs to go in the bin. Throw it out. Just let it. It's rubbish. It's a thought. It's an idea. It isn't the truth. You know it. You absolutely know it. And I saw your tears yesterday.
I'm crying all the time.
Yes, I know, I know, I know, I know. I could sense it and see it and see how painful it is. It was yesterday, not now.
No, no, also today.
Ah, yeah, 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 okay.
Somehow here I can, like, on this.
Yeah.
I'm not crying.
No, no. So can you just give me your hand, please? Can you look at everybody and clearly say,
I'm worthy?
Yes!
I am!
Well said, well said.
Thank you very much.
So just offering a short reflection with the first inquiry. We need to see in relationship that relationship is an event due to causes and conditions. There are many contributing factors. And when we look in a way that isn't bound to the narrowness of self, I, me, and my, things start to open up. And then we can see, in this case, we can see when we are endeavoring to control something, to control the relationship. So we need to let go of I, me, and my, let go of the notion of control. And when we do this, the relationship itself can be more authentic, more real, more alive. And hopefully there's a meeting. Relationships, like everything else, are impermanent. Sometimes they also come to an end. I'm not suggesting that this should be the case, but they do. And we need to see that and not take it as a personal event, if that's the case. What we tend to do in relationship is we apportion blame. We see from the self-view and we think either I wasn't good enough or the other person was not who or what I wanted or how I wanted to be in relationship. So we either blame the outer or the self. So we have to have a more expansive view. We have to see in a different way. And then the relationship has a chance to blossom, as we heard in the second inquiry. And with guilt is a really difficult emotion. The guilt is fueled by worry. The guilt is fueled by thoughts and beliefs. There's freedom to shine, there's freedom to blossom, and there's freedom to meet others without the worry. We leave that behind. And in the third inquiry, there's great freedom when we're not relying on someone else for our sense of worthiness, for our sense of wholeness, for our sense of unbrokenness. We're setting ourselves up, if we're relying on somebody else's approval, for our well-being. This is the stuff of pain and sorrow and difficulty. And sometimes it takes, as we heard and saw, the expression of the grief and the sadness, and it takes letting go, and it takes also incredible courage to say, here I am, this is who I am, and I am worthy. Every single person sitting in this room is worthy, worthy of love, worthy of respect. Each one of you. So please live from there, not from the mental formation of I am unworthy, I don't deserve to be loved, because that's the recipe for pain. It really is. So have courage, as we saw, shift to the new, be free. Thank you for your attention, and thank you very much to the three who came. It's time now for walking meditation. And somebody asked, with the walking, should they try to do all the instructions from the morning session? No, that will be too much. Just walk. And of course, sometimes some reflections come as we are walking. If there's a reflection on an issue or something, we can follow that and let the unfolding process be, and then come back to the direct experience in the body of just walking. Enjoy. Thank you.